Good morning. Walking out this morning with an absolutely gorgeous morning outside. That's fantastic. I've got a couple announcements here this morning. First of all, obviously you notice all the wonderful quilts we have. 98 quilts with us this morning that the quilters have put together for going out with Lutheran World Relief. Right, Donna? Lutheran World Relief, and they'll be going out to victims of natural disasters, maybe possibly end up in Ukraine, all the people who have had to evacuate their houses and leave their possessions behind. Lutheran World Relief helps with getting them the things that they need, and these quilts will be part and parcel of that. A couple other announcements that we've got. After the service is over, the elders would like me to at least remind everybody what direction we're heading in case of a tornado, so we'll do that real shortly. We're not actually going to do it. I'm just going to stand up here and point. I felt like one of those people who's waving airplanes in. You're going to go that way. You're going to go that way. Go that way and then over there. But we'll do that real quick at the end of the service. Junior high and senior high youth groups this morning will be painting pumpkins for our shut-ins. Remember the voters meeting at 7 o'clock on Tuesday evening here at the church. And from October 31st to November 4th, Mrs. Lockenauer will be out of the office. She'll be using up some of her vacation time that she has not used yet this year. So the Zion's Light announcements for November 6th will be received in the office by noon on October 28th. The October 30th bulletin cutoff will still be noon on Wednesday, October 26th. And Linda Aper will be filling in from 8 a.m. till noon while Chris is out of the office. And at the end of second service, I'll just post this on the board outside too. So if you need to ask about submitting bulletin announcements, that'll be out there for you to look at. Our opening hymn this morning is Come Unto Me, Ye Weary. We open with the singing of Come Unto Me, Ye Weary.
Greetings in the name of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We welcome you to the Sunday, October 23rd, 2022 worship service at Zion Lutheran Church, Lincoln, Illinois. Participating in the production of this broadcast are Brian and Pam Featon and Ken Richard. Our organist is Dora Thompson. The opening hymn is number 684, Come Unto Me, Ye Weary, hymn 684 found in the Lutheran service book. Kevin and Judy Smith are sponsoring the flowers on the altar to the glory of God in thanksgiving for all of the blessings of family and friends God has bestowed upon us. Mike and Keena Rose are sponsoring the radio broadcast to the glory of God in celebration of their 20th wedding anniversary.
Thank you.
Let us please rise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins unto God our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his only Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We continue now with our responsive psalm. Give ear to my words, O Lord, consider my groaning.
Give attention to the sound of my cry, my King and my God, for to you do I pray.
O Lord, in the morning you hear my voice. In the morning I prepare a sacrifice for you and watch.
For you are not a God who delights in wickedness. Evil may not dwell with you.
The boastful shall not stand before your eyes. You hate all evildoers.
You destroy those who speak lies. The Lord abhors the bloodthirsty and deceitful man.
But I, through the abundance of your steadfast love, will enter your house. I will bow down toward your holy temple in the fear of you.
Lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness, because of my enemies. Make your way straight before me.
For there is no truth in their mouth. Their inmost self is destruction. Their throat is an open grave. They flatter with their tongue.
Make them bear their guilt, O God. Let them fall by their own counsels. Because of the abundance of their transgressions, cast them out, for they have rebelled against you.
But let all who take refuge in you rejoice. Let them ever sing for joy, and spread your protection over them, that those who love your name may exult in you.
For you bless the righteous, O Lord. You cover him with favor as with a shield.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. In peace let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Glory to God in the highest, Christ and peace to his people on earth. Almighty and everlasting God, you are always more ready to hear than we to pray, and always ready to give more than we either deserve or desire. Pour down on us the abundance of your mercy. Forgive us those things of which our conscience is afraid, and give us those good things for which we are not worthy to ask, except by the merits and mediation of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. The Old Testament reading for this, the 20th Sunday after Pentecost, is from the book of Genesis, the 4th chapter, beginning at the 1st verse. Now Adam knew his Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, saying, I have gotten a man with the help of the Lord. And again she bore his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, and Cain a worker of the ground. In the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground. And Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering he had no regard. So Cain was very angry, and his face fell. The Lord said to Cain, Why are you angry, and why has your face fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is for you, but you must rule over it. Cain spoke to Abel, his brother. And when they were in the field, Cain rose up against his brother Abel and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, Where is Abel, your brother? He said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? And the Lord said, What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood is crying out to me from the ground. And now you are cursed from the ground, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you work the ground, it shall no longer yield to you its strength. You shall be a fugitive and a wanderer on the earth. Cain said to the Lord, My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, you have driven me today away from the ground, and from your face I shall be hidden. I shall be a fugitive and a wanderer on the earth, and whoever finds me will kill me. Then the Lord said to him, Not so. If anyone kills Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord put a mark on Cain, lest any who found him should attack him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Catechetical Review. In regards to the Table of Duties, what does the Table of Duties say to husbands?
Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives, and treat them with respect as the weaker partner, and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. Husbands, love your wives, and do not be harsh with them.
The epistle reading from 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, beginning at the 6th verse. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. At my first defense, no one came to stand by me, but all deserted me. May it not be charged against them. But the Lord stood by me and strengthened me, so that through me his message, the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We rise for the singing of the Alleluia. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 18th chapter. Jesus also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you that this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. Now they were bringing even infants to him that he might touch them. And when the disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called to them, saying, Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them. For such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. This is the gospel of the Lord. Having heard the words of Christ, we confess our common Christian faith through the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Please be seated. This time, I invite any of the children who'd like to come forward for a brief children's message to do so at this time. Before me, six children who are absolutely wonderfully well-behaved. Never have you done anything wrong, right? Maybe not. You know, I'm wondering, you're not quite old enough yet, but it might just be that you've heard words from a parent in your life that sounds something like this, because I know that I have said them before in my life. Young man, young lady, you better watch your attitude. Yep, that we can get all kind of, and there's two ways to do that. You can do this. No. And then you get the stern look. You better watch your attitude. Or you can do this. Put a big smile on. Do what you think mom and dad want you to do. Say all the right words, nod at all the right times, and then go off and don't do anything. Both of those are the wrong attitude. You know, we heard about Cain and Abel today, and those boys, well, okay, maybe we're not going to say boys, because when I say boys, we like, these are boys, okay? Cain and Abel were grown men, and as we can tell from the scripture, there were quite a few people on the earth when this episode between Cain and Abel happened. It just wasn't them, because Cain talks about other people on the earth being mad at him and hunting him down and all of that. But they were going to bring a sacrifice to the Lord. And one did. Abel brought it with happiness in his heart. He knew what he was supposed to do. He was humble. He had trust in God. And he brought his sacrifice to there. And God looked on that. And God smiled on that. Cain, I think. I don't know. How many of you have a great imagination for books? Like when you read books or mom, dad read books to you, you can see it in your head. Yeah, I like that. And we have two ways to do Cain and Abel. Right? Cain could have brought his offering like this. Whatever. And God was not happy with that. And this is what I think. I think Cain came to the altar of God with a smile on his face, doing all the right things, but having absolutely no desire to be there. Didn't want to be there at all, didn't care, didn't think about it, but he knew how enough to play his mom and dad, knew enough to make it look like he was really wanting to do something. But he didn't want to down here, right inside where it counts. You know that feeling? Probably when it comes to cleaning your room, right? You do it, but you're not joyful about it. You're not thrilled with it. Well, when the Lord calls us to approach him, he calls us and he wants us to approach him with happiness and joy in our hearts. And how do we approach him with happiness and joy in our hearts? We see first what he has done for us. So if you turn around and look, we've got the cross on. We look at that almost every week. And from your pews, you can see that. We look at the cross with Jesus on it. And we know what he has done there. We see that Jesus has been perfect in our place. He has done everything God wanted us to do, but we couldn't. Jesus does that for us. And then he was the innocent sacrifice for the sins of the world. And so when we come here happily because we are saying, God, thank you. Thank you so much for what you have done for me, for making me your child in the waters of baptism, for bringing me into your kingdom, for sending your son to live and die in my place. Thank you so much, Lord. We come happy to be here. We come with joy in our hearts. Now, I'm going to tell you a secret. It doesn't happen every Sunday that way. sometimes we're super tired. Anybody ever got up on a Sunday morning and went, ugh? Yep. Me too. Yeah. And sometimes, have you ever been in church and you can't remember if we prayed the Lord's Prayer because your mind was off somewhere else? Me too. Sometimes I'll turn around. One time I went to say, "The Lord bless you and keep you." And I started off with, "Come, Lord Jesus, be our guest." Oops. I wasn't paying attention. Do you know who died for all of that too? Jesus. Jesus died for all of that. And for that, we are thankful. We are very thankful for all the things that Jesus has done for us, living and dying and rising again, so that we would be children of God and we would have life eternal. As we come here, weak though it may be, we come with joy and happiness for all that God has done for us. Let's pray. Blessed Lord, we thank you for everything Jesus has done for us. We thank you for each and every gift that he has given us through his life and his death and his resurrection. We pray that we may always be people after your own heart, and may we approach you with joy and happiness at all times. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Children, thank you for coming down. If you would, please return to your families, and we will continue our service with the singing of "Let Children Hear the Mighty Deeds."
The hymn of the day is hymn number 867, "Let Children Hear the Mighty Deeds," hymn 867 in the Lutheran Service Book.
Sermon text today from the Gospel reading. The tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." Thus far the words of our text. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm me. How do you hear that? How can those words be said, or read. I'm me. Might be like this. I'm me. I'm me. I'm me. The men before us in the book of Genesis and in the parable that Jesus told are effectively saying these words. I'm me. Cain and Abel approach God with a sacrifice. Cain approaches God with the fruit of the ground and Abel with the firstborn of his flock and the fat portions of the flock. Adam and Eve had taught their sons well. They had led them in the true worship of the Lord. They had taught them how to, basically as we would say, go to church and how to pray and how to give thanks unto the Lord. How does Abel approach the Lord? Abel approaches the Lord as a sinner, understanding that he needs the mercy and grace of God. Understanding that when his parents showed him the Garden of Eden, and you got to remember this, the Garden of Eden was there until the flood. And Adam and Eve could take their kids and go, look, see the angels? We can't go in there. Because there are angels guarding the entrance to the garden with flaming swords keeping everybody out of it. We used to live there. Kids, that was paradise. It's gone now because of what mom and dad did. And the Lord was merciful to us and he promised to send a Savior unto us. And we trust God's promise. They could see that. And they would be reminded that all broken things in the world were a result of their sin. Abel listened. And he took the message of God's promised Savior to heart. And he approached God with repentance over his own sin. Cain, I perceive as this. And all of you who are parents there, you know how this goes. Same parents. Same rules. Generally speaking, pretty much everything the same in the house. Two kids, wildly different personalities. It just happens that way. Cain, I perceive, is this. He got the same lessons, the same teachings. I think he was a bit spoiled as the firstborn child ever. I think mom and dad may have spoiled him a little bit. But with that eagerness of his face masking his annoyance at the teachings of his parents, I can hear him say things like this in his heart. Yeah, I got it. I got it. Yeah, I understand. I got things to do. Let's get this over with. He approaches God full of himself, with a self-righteous attitude. He has no faith in the promise of God's Savior. If he has any faith at all, it's probably complete faith in himself. Cain's sacrifice is unacceptable to God because he has no faith in the promised Messiah. Abel's faith was not in the sacrifice. Abel's faith was not in the command to sacrifice. Abel's faith was in the mercy of God. Abel's faith was not in himself. Abel looked to God. Abel did not look into himself. Abel was something like this. O Lord, accept this sacrifice. Accept it because I'm me. I am who I am. Cain approached the Lord with, O Lord, accept this sacrifice. Because I'm me. I am who I am. The same goes for the two men in the parable, the Pharisee and the tax collector. I'm me. And the Pharisee says, I thank you, Father, for making me me. I thank you didn't make me like that goober over there. The Pharisee is like the player who jacks the home run, football player who breaks through the line and blows past the secondary and scores a touchdown. Both of the athletes looking at the crowd. Yes! Love me because I'm me! Harmless on the athletic field. But when approaching God, not so much. God, the Pharisee approached him with this attitude. God, you love me. Love me because I'm me. The tax collector, on the other hand, the sometime overcharger of taxes, the pocketer of the difference, the colluder with the occupiers, he battles the greedy heart. He's the one who battles his bad attitude. He's the one who's convicted by the Holy Spirit, and he is in the back of the church. He is the one who hangs his head in shame and won't even dare look up to heaven. Kind of like the way we stand and we pray. We stand up, we bow our heads, we fold our hands. Our attitude of humility, we approach the Lord in prayer. The tax collector seeks the mercy of God because he knows he is a sinner. He says, God, forgive me. Forgive me because I'm me. I'm just me. If someone declares that they are worthy of God's love because they have love and they do good works, well, then they are asking for God's grace with the attitude that they have earned it. And they pray like the Pharisee who says, I'm not like other men. I'm way better than they are. Such prayer relies on its own merits and not on the mercy of God. And such prayer insults Jesus, Christ who intercedes for us as our high priest. What does prayer rely on? Prayer relies on the mercy of God in Christ Jesus. Prayer relies on God when we believe that He hears us not for our sake, but He hears us for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ and what He has done for us. As Jesus said, if you ask anything in my name, the Father will do it. In my name, he says, because without Christ the high priest, we cannot draw near to God the Father. Now, do I think anybody in this nave, in this church, is a self-righteous Pharisee? No, not at all. As a matter of fact, I'm pretty confident the folks in this place are Missouri Synod Lutherans, core to core, right down to the center. Right? You believe in the mercy of God. You understand that each and every single one of us are sinful human beings. You have already stood shoulder to shoulder with each other and said, I am a poor, miserable sinner. We also believe that in the face of our best efforts, we still sin, and that means we're rebels, and that we have to daily drown our old Adam in the waters of our holy baptism. And for baptism to understand, or let us be reminded that baptism in our baptisms gives life and salvation and washes us from the guilt of original sin. It does all that. We still have an affinity towards sinning. We have not lost the desire to sin. We have not lost the desire to violate the will of God. And we do understand that each and every single one of us are violators. And as violators, we are in need of God's mercy. In fact, this is so deeply ingrained in us that we tend to forget it, I would imagine. So it's good to remember just why it is that we show up here on a Sunday morning. Why we are somewhat different than so many other Christians. You see, we come here because each and every one of us can say with humility, I'm me. I'm just me. I'm broken. I'm sinful. I'm not the person I'm supposed to be. Lord, I'm approaching you with full understanding of who I am. You see, we come here in humility. Where do we start in our church service? We start with the invocation. And there's those little words that say, the sign of the cross may be made in remembrance of our baptisms. Because we do believe in baptismal regeneration. Baptism regenerates sinners and makes us Christians. In our baptism, God puts His saving name on us. He truly is there present to bless us with all His gifts and be with us as His children and heirs. Baptism works the forgiveness of sin, rescues from death and the devil, and gives eternal salvation to all who believe this. And as the words of promises declare, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. In those blessed waters, God gives His Spirit, His forgiveness, His acceptance today, and eternal life forever. Baptism is God's work, and what God does is absolutely sure and 100% certain. Nothing is more certain in all the universe than the name of God that He has placed upon you in your baptism. In baptism, you have been forgiven. In baptism, you have been delivered from sin, death, hell, and the devil. Therefore, in times of doubt, in times of temptation, in times of weakness or failure, and especially in the face of our own death, we can boldly say, I am baptized into Christ. And then we remember Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There is no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. Mean what you say then next in the confession of sins. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. It is God who is faithful and just to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Say with a true heart and feel it in your soul, I am by nature sinful and unclean. I have not done what I ought to have done, and I have done some of the things I should have never done. And sometimes I hate myself for it. Sometimes I thoroughly enjoyed it. I have not loved my neighbor as myself, and that's precisely because I don't love God in the way that I should love God. Grasp all of that when you say those words. And when you hear the absolution will free you from the power of sin, death, hell, and the devil. Absolution will free you, and it will be more precious to you than anything else. Don't grasp that you are a sinner, and your spirit will say, yeah, let's move on so I can get out of here. I got things to do today. We continue on in our service. We cry out, Lord God, Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. And there it is, mercy from God, because God the Son, Jesus Christ, is at the right hand of God the Father, interceding for us, standing before God, saying, Father, forgive them, not for their sake, but for the sake of these wounds in my hand, the sake of the wounds in my side, the marks on my forehead and the prints in my feet. Forgive them for these wounds and for what I have done for them. As we said in our collect today, pour down on us the abundance of your mercy. Remember, prayer relies on the mercy of God, that we are here because of Christ. Forgive us of those things of which our conscience is afraid. Bless me, I don't know how a Christian could go to any church that did not have confession and absolution given freely for the sake of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I can't enumerate the number of times my own conscience has been afraid of my own sin and my own laziness as a pastor. But we cry out, forgive us, not for my sake, but for the sake of Christ. Give us those good things of which we are not worthy to ask except by the merits of Jesus Christ. And what do we say in the creed? I believe in the forgiveness of sins. What do we cry out in the Lord's Prayer? Forgive us our trespasses, and in such forgiveness, we forgive our neighbor. We forgive others, especially when they've been rascals, when they've been thoughtless and have hurt us, and even when they've been very thoughtful and deliberate and have hurt us. We are all obstinate sinners in need of forgiveness. And God grant it to each and every one of us that we appear here in this house just like Abel and just like the tax collector and say, God, I'm here precisely because I'm me. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may that peace that passes all understanding be in your hearts and minds through the one true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Let us now all rise for prayer. Merciful God, our Heavenly Father. As we travel the roads of life, keep us, we pray, focused on you, focused on your word and your sacraments. Grant that we remember you as the source of mercy and the giver of eternal life, and that our prayers are acceptable to you as we pray with full confidence in our great high priest, your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
Gracious Lord, hear our prayers for the family of Bob Albert as they mourn his death. We ask that Bob's loved ones find their peace in his adoption by grace in the waters of holy baptism, and look forward to the days ahead in assured and certain confidence of the resurrection to eternal life for all those who die in Christ. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayers.
Dear Jesus, lay your healing hand upon those of our congregation who are sick or who are recovering from illness. We ask that you would continue to grant Joanne Marlin strength and healing as she recovers from her infection. And for all those, O Lord Jesus, whom we now name in our hearts, we ask that you would grant our prayers according to your will and in your time. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayers.
Lord of the Church, bless our congregation so that we may not lose sight of why we exist, to receive your mercy and grace, and to proclaim your love to the next generation. Grant us to find the staff that we need for the right functioning of our mission, and make the hearts of many ready to serve as officers and board members of our congregation. All of this we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, who is our intercessor. Amen. Please be seated for the reception of our gifts and offerings.
You've been sharing in the morning worship at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Pulaski Street in Lincoln, Illinois, where you have just heard Reverend John Johnson deliver the message for this morning. If you cannot be physically present, join us every Sunday morning on the radio at 8 o'clock over WLLM 1370 AM or WLLM 105.3 FM, or on Facebook Live or on the internet at www.zlclinc.org. Zion is a member congregation in the Worldwide Fellowship of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you are without a church home, we invite you to become a part of the Zion family. If we may assist you in any way, please call us at 732-3946 or write to us at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Pulaski Street, Lincoln, Illinois, 62656. Zion also offers a premier education with a Christian worldview for children from ages 3 through the 8th grade at Zion Lutheran School. If you would like more information concerning our school, please contact the school office at 732-3977. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
Let us all now rise for the singing of the offertory.
Thank you.
remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Almighty God, grant to your church your Holy Spirit and the wisdom that comes down from above, that your word may not be bound, but have free course and be preached to the joy and edifying of Christ's holy people, so that in steadfast faith we may serve you and in the confession of your name abide unto the end. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and grant thee his peace.
The closing hymn is number 578, Thy Strong Word, hymn 578 in the Lutheran Service Book.
Please be seated. It is a rare occasion when we do have a fall tornado, but it does happen. We also kind of do these reminders in spring also, but if there happens to be the weather radio goes off and there's a warning to take shelter, please remember from that light right there, so basically Ron and Lana, forward, you're going to walk up here, you're going to go through the radio room and downstairs into the basement. Same here, that light straight down, it's too crowded on this side, I can't see who over here, but from that light down, you're going to go through that door right there, down the stairs and into the basement. This side here, from that light back, go out the double doors. Yes, Herman's got it right. You're going to go out the side, so Lois and everybody on that side is going to go down the side aisle, out the double doors, down the stairs, into the room with the French doors. This side here, into the center aisle, out through the double doors, down the stairs, into the Sunday school rooms in the basement, and then each side of the balconies are going to go down their respective staircases all the way down to the basement Sunday school room. After that, then all those in walkers in wheelchairs or those who need assistance to evacuate the church proper, the elders and ushers will help get you to the area between the bathrooms and the clothes racks, the coat racks, not clothes racks, the coat rack and the bathrooms here in this hallway there. Okay, so just in case there is that weather radio goes off, that is what we'll do in the places where we will head to be safe until the all clear is given on that. Please remember there is a voters meeting this Tuesday. We do have a budget for the next fiscal year to approve and constitutional amendment changes, constitutional amendments or constitutional changes to go through also, and just the regular business of the church along with the voting of officers. John. Okay, so John points out, just we're getting back to things we used to do before the pandemic, and so that's good to see. And as a matter of fact, Mr. Mosky was just on the radio this morning as I was driving in, so that reminded me of he oftentimes did our auctioning quite a bit. Anyway, the Lord bless all of you. May he bless your comings in and your goings out from this time forth and forevermore. Amen. AJ! Then everybody just starts singing 98 is perfect. You hit the sweet spot.
So, but I'm showing the women. Park. So Yeah. close up.